Our scripture reading this morning is from the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis. This is a story about Jacob. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham and Sarah, so the original first two patriarchs, Abraham and Sarah. They have the child Isaac. Isaac has twins, Esau and Jacob. So that's where we're at. We're talking about Jacob here. So Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done all that I have promised you. And then Jacob awoke from his dream and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Word of God, word of life. Well, we are back in the narrative lectionary again. And this is the third week of working our way through some of the major stories of the Old Testament. We've been doing the narrative lectionary now. This is the fourth year, so I think we've come to expect and realize that a number of these Old Testament stories are often strange and confusing, violent, often hard to understand, sometimes how they even kind of belong in the Bible. I think last week was a good example of that. If you were here, you heard the story of the binding of Isaac, where for reasons that are just hard to get your head around, God asks Abraham, or excuse me, yeah, no. Yeah. Just testing you to see if you knew that. I've had these people in my head a little mixed up. Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, this child of his old age, the only child, to carry on the name. And I am so thankful that I was on vacation and Pastor Heather got to deal with it. And she did a wonderful job. But today, we lucked out. I lucked out. This is a great story. The story of Jacob having this dream. A story that's kind of easy to understand. It's uplifting. It's full of gospel and grace. God comes and renews the promises that God had made to Abraham, remakes those promises to Jacob. Once again, it's just this wonderful story of Jacob having this dream, where he sees this ladder up to heaven and the angels ascending and descending, and then God comes and speaks directly to Jacob. He renews the three promises that I will give you this land, that your family will be a great nation, and that all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. That's the basic covenant that God made with Abraham and Sarah, and it's now been renewed to their grandson, Jacob. And God then kind of gives a special blessing to Jacob. God says, know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have a lot of dreams where God speaks to me. But if I ever do, I hope that I will respond and react the same way that Jacob does. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Jacob hears and receives and believes this promise, this dream that God gives him. And so, like I said, unlike so many Old Testament readings that are difficult and strange and hard to understand, we have a nice, simple, uplifting, straightforward story of a loving, compassionate God who comes to renew promises and make new promises. This is a good story, and I'm tempted to say amen. Why not, Jim? I'll tell you why not. Because as Paul Harvey would say, but what about the rest of the story? No Old Testament story is this simple and straightforward, my friends, as much as we'd like it. There's this really weird little detail at the very beginning of the reading that I wonder if anyone picked up on. Taking one of the stones of the place, Jacob put his head on it and lay down in that place. What is Jacob doing out in the wilderness alone without, I mean, I don't know if they had pillows back then, but I don't know if they often use rocks for pillows. I mean, the implication is he's out there with nothing, which is the truth. He's out there alone in the wilderness with nothing, and it just happened to get dark, and so he just had to lay down, and he used a rock for a pillow. Why is that? Well, it's because of the rest of the story. And it all starts way, way, way back when Jacob and his twin brother Esau are born. Esau is born first. But, according to the story, Jacob is close behind. In fact, the name Jacob literally means heel grabber. And the story goes that Jacob is grasping his brother's Esau's heel as they're being delivered. I don't know, but that's what the story says. And so Jacob is the heel grabber, the supplanter, the trickster. And Jacob lives up to that name over and over and over again. The next time in this story that he does it is he and his older brother Esau, who, because even though he was maybe born just minutes apart, Esau is still the older brother. He has the birthright. He's going to be the one who inherits. He's going to be in charge of the family. But one day, Esau, who's this great hunter, and Jacob is much more of a homebody kind of guy, Esau's out hunting, and he comes back, and he is famished. So obviously that day he was a lousy hunter. But he bumps into his brother Jacob, who happens to be making some stew, and Esau says, I am famished. Give me some of that. And we all know what a loving brother would do. Here, starving brother, have some. But not Jacob, the trickster, heel-grabbing supplanter. He says, yeah, I'll give you some if you give me your birthright. Esau is either really hungry or a little bit, because he does it. For a bowl of stew, he gives his birthright to his younger brother, which might not have been a big deal if it had not been for when his father, Isaac, is on his deathbed. And he calls his older son, Esau, and says, my son Esau, I'm about to die. I'm blind. My life is almost over, so I want you to go out and hunt. Get me, get a nice, deer or something and fix it the way I like it and bring it to me and we'll have this great meal together and then I will bless you before I die. And so Esau goes, gets his hunting stuff and takes off. But Rebekah, Isaac's wife, Jacob and Esau's mother, overhears this conversation. She's not terribly happy with Esau because he's married a local Hittite woman. And she obviously has a little bit of this trickster stuff in her because she goes and tells Jacob what's going on. Your dad is going to die soon. He just sent your brother out to get some food, and he's going to bless him. So this is what we're going to do, says Rebecca. I'm going to go kill a goat and fix it the way your dad likes it, and then you're going to go in and give him the goat and get his blessing. And Jacob says, Mom, great idea, but Esau's big and strong and hairy and smells like outdoors, and I'm not. And she says, I'll take care of it. So they slaughter the goat. She cooks it. She puts goat hair on his arms and on his neck, which tells you how hairy Esau was, I guess. Sends him into the tent with Isaac. And I guess he changes his voice and says, Dad, here I am with the food. And it's like, eh. So he, you know, he tries the food, but he's not quite sure. And so he reaches up and he touches his now hairy son and tricks him. And Isaac blesses Jacob, the younger brother, the trickster. And then this explains now why Jacob is out in the desert alone, sleeping on a rock, because now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching, then I will kill my brother Jacob. But the words of her elder son Esau were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, your brother Esau is consoling himself by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away. Jacob is out there alone in the wilderness, sleeping on rocks, because he's running for his life. Because he and his mother conspired to cheat his older brother Esau and to deceive his father purely for his own gain. And so this simple, straightforward story gets a little more complicated. It's now not just a nice story of God blessing Jacob and renewing that promise. It's about a really messed up family that deceive and manipulate one another. And then there's that weird twist. And I never really thought about it very hard before, but God goes ahead and blesses Jacob. God doesn't say, now wait a minute, Jacob, your brother rightfully should be the one carrying on the family name. He's the older brother, and you and your mom have really been lousy. And I'll be honest, I think I used to think, because it was so easy to do so, that, well, this was all kind of part of God's plan. But, you know, I don't think that's the case, really. I think this is just another example of how it is that God works with messed up, broken families and messed up, broken people, even people like Jacob. And so what we see here in this story, I think, is a God who is going to maintain this promise. He's going to keep this covenant, not because Jacob deserves it, but because God is faithful. And God knows that the only people that God has to work with and the only families that God has to work with are messed up, broken families with messed up, broken people. And so even Jacob, only because of God's love and grace and goodness and God's insistence on fulfilling God's promises, God is now going to work with this trickster, this heel grabber. But you know, don't think that it's going to be all butterflies and rainbows for Jacob from here on out. He's got some more tricking to do, and he gets tricked a couple times along the way, and he has another encounter with God. And this time it's not just a nice dream, it's a wrestling match. And when Jacob leaves that wrestling match, he's got a displaced hip that makes him limp for life and a new name. Instead of Jacob the trickster, he becomes Israel, the one who wrestles with God. God doesn't give up on us. God wrestles with us. And following God often leads to some kind of limp or some kind of cost to our lives. But God chooses to work with messed up, broken people from messed up, broken families like you and me. God has done it throughout history. God will continue to do it because God insists on being at work in this world to bring love and compassion and justice and grace. And God will use us, as flawed as we are, because God's promises are for sure, no matter what. That's the God that captures our imagination, the God that draws us to risk limps so that we can be a part of this amazing work that God is doing among us, with us, and through us. Thanks be to God. Amen.